You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Death will get you every time.
Every
single time.
You know, 100% of people, the studies have shown, they have dug into this, they've done polls, they've done scientific studies.
Let me guess, they die of death.
They found that 100% of people die of death.
That's crazy.
Did you notice before you read the news today, don't cheat, but before you read the news today, did you go outside and think, what is going on with the haze?
I couldn't help but notice the haze this morning when I stepped outside.
I thought Waldo was on fire.
I had coffee on my front porch, and I'm like, not exactly the sunniest, clearest day I've ever been around.
So I did not know this, but in my car, there's, I guess, something that tells you how bad the air is. I've never noticed this ever until today.
One of the best features about that specific brand of
vehicle.
Yes,
and I pointed at it. It said A something something, and it was in red. And so anytime I see anything with red in a car, I think, you know, it needs oil or something. Well, I guess not my car, but you know what I mean. So I point at it, and I said, what is A whatever? And Johnny said, that's the air quality index. I've never seen it on your car, and I've certainly never seen it that high. Whatever, it was like 165. I said, well, what is a normal number? He thinks a normal number was like 50. We'd have to look that up. I don't know. He's not a meteorologist. But it is in red on my car today. It says AQI, I think, 165. From Canada?
Yes.
Those wildfires in Canada every summer.
That is crazy.
My home computer, the one that was hacked about a month and a half ago, on the bottom left, it'll tell me the temperature, and then sometimes it'll like take up the stock market report and everything. And it just said haze alert.
Yeah.
70 degrees.
So 0 to 50 is good. 51 to 100 is moderate. 101 to 150 is unhealthy for those sensitive and people who have like respiratory concerns. 151 to 200, so the 165 number,
yep,
unhealthy, and then everything above that.
Is this from Canada or is it from Utah?
Go inside and cry.
I thought there were some wildfires in Utah.
I heard we blame Canada for this.
This is
one.
The Canadian wildfires. The cold front just moved in. Where does cold air come from?
Canada.
And so behind that cold front was a ton of smoke. We get the same thing with the Saharan dust when we have the hot fronts pushing.
I believe they called that a haboob, Sam.
Haboob.
Did you say haboob?
Ha! That was yesterday. Ha!
Did you tell that story on the air? I don't think you did.
I don't know that I did.
Why don't you tell that story on the air first?
Ladies, this is a ladies' story, but...
It's an HR complaint, is what it is.
It became a man's story.
It has been so hot up until yesterday.
No, even yesterday.
Any woman that you know will tell you, like, we start knocking at the door in August, ladies. You know this. You dread putting on underclothing. Like even for those of you.
By that, you mean a bra.
Yes. Well, even for those of you, like, if you are a pickleball player or you are a golfer, the very thick under cotton sports bra, it's a non-starter right now. It's too hot. And so a ton of women, a lot of women, will buy these under the clothes sticky things that will just get the job done when you're going to work and provide just enough cover, but not weigh you down in fabric because it's so hot out. Yesterday, I was going to the restroom, walking down the hall.
They're basically rubber
pasties. They're pedals. Yeah. Walking down the hall. And I just hear Carrington Harrington with Sixton Sports. He goes, Dana, I think you dropped something.
He was walking behind you.
He was walking behind me. And what is Carrington, 29 years old, 30 years? I don't even know. I look down, and one of those things is on the floor, has fallen out of my shirt, and I have never laughed so hard in my entire life. And poor Carrington probably now needs therapy.
Poor Carrington.
He then turns, like, doesn't say a word, just turns left and goes right into his studio, doesn't say a word.
Now, wait a minute. I'm taking over the story from here. I was right behind Carrington. And I walk over, I'm walking over to my cubicle in the newsroom.
He goes, is that one of those bra things?
And I said, is that one of them bra things? And Dana picks it up. And she goes, here, catch, and throws it at me like a frisbee.
HR violation. All right.
It was actually a very good toss, and I catch it, and I look at it, and I realize that just seconds ago, this had covered one of Dana's breasts. And I'm holding it in my hands. It's like a foot away from my face, And I go, gross!
And then our boss...
And I throw it back at her.
Our boss rounds the corner and Roxanne is standing there and I go, you don't even want to know what just happened. But I tell that story.
Carrington needs therapy. I was the one who caught it.
I post this on social because my girlfriends in a group text are just dying. I'm like, you're all never going to believe what just landed on the floor here at work. And I posted a photo of it. And they all started weighing in the worst place that has happened to them. One of them was on a dance floor at a wedding. What multiple women have said this has happened at work. Look, it's sweaty. It's hot out. You know, we did yoga in our office today, Sam.
Who is we?
Well, I'm going to do it next time. But, you know, life happens.
You weren't here for yoga.
I have an event tonight. I had to wear a dress and I didn't want to get all sweaty and then have to have a dress on.
No, Texter, we did not get a new wind chime in the studio.
Okay. I don't know how to turn off the notification.
Sam has volunteered to help you.
I have tried and tried. Sam, I will give you my phone. You can turn them off. I find it to be a pleasing noise.
Scott, I can lead a horse to water.
You can't make a drink.
That's right.
I tell you, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like when
we
were
little. It sounds like a Ring doorbell alert.
No, it sounds like when we were little and we were reading.
There it goes again. How many people come up to your door?
That is a ridiculous amount.
No, we have workers there today. Remember when we were little and you would do the little record with your mom and dad? And every time Tinkerbell told you it was time to turn the page, bring, that was your very calming cue to turn the page.
I'm going to be honest. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
All right. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
My parents were amazing parents. Mm-hmm. We had a very normal, functioning home.
Absolutely.
Could not have asked for better parents. I don't ever recall. I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Okay.
I don't ever recall my parents ever reading books with me.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Now, I'm sure it happened.
And they are great parents, so I don't I don't think that that's indicative.
Could not have
of,
asked for better.
But they never like read. My mom read Stuart Little to us.
I don't remember that.
Oh, Edward
but I was
Tulane
young. But I was young.
Read that to the kids.
And that song or that sound may be soothing Ring. When you're reading a book, but not
when you're doing a radio show. Right.
Turn it off.
It's
I will
non-stop.
Bring it to you to turn it off. So do you know what I tried to do the other day, Sam? I just turned off everything, and then it shut down the Ring system.
You're not supposed to do that.
I know.
You just modify the notifications. Maybe you have a producer who's been offering to do it for weeks, and maybe you could let him do it, but...
I will send it in to you during the break. This is why he's so patient, see?
He's been telling you ever since you got the Ring doorbell app, which has been more than a week. Every day he says, I'll teach you how to turn that off.
Okay.
And you decline every time.
No Ring! I am bringing
I've turned mine off. There's no bring between 2 and 6
you
on my phone.
Don't remember in the Jungle Book, it would go bring, and then you would turn the page to follow along. This is why I'm smarter than you. My parents read to me.
You're not smarter than me.
Here we go.
When we get back.
We're going to have a quiz at 4:45 today.
I'm aware.
At which I will prove that I'm smarter.
I follow a couple you read this book, don't can't put this book down type of things on Facebook. There is a new book that I'm actually scared to read because the reviews say it is absolutely terrifying. And not terrifying in a Stephen King sort of, like, what's the scariest thing you can think of, Scott? You would think like It with the clown and the children.
Yeah. And the balloon.
When we get back, I'm going to tell you about this book, and I would love to hear from anyone who's read it. I think really the scariest thing is the human being and what we are capable of when things go south. And that is what this book is about. And I sent it to my daughters yesterday, just the screenshot. And I said, read the synopsis of this and tell me if this is something you would read.
By the way, do you know what those things are that fell out of your shirt? You know what they're really called?
What?
They are called chicken cutlet bra inserts.
Chicken cutlet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
They're cutlets, yeah.
Chicken cutlet bra
inserts.
Well,
we got a chicken down in the newsroom floor.
Yeah, we did.
Chicken down.
Yeah, we did.
Chicken down, people.
Festivus Friday coming your way right after 5 o'clock. That is brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue pit to plate. Q39KC.com. The book you're afraid to read is called Fantastic Land.
So Remember Lord of the Flies and how terrifying it was?
That's exactly what they reference in the first sentence.
Oh, I didn't know that. The first synopsis of this I read because I said, why is this so terrifying? If it's about kidnapping or rape, like I can't read those things anymore. Hmm. I think this, you know, science fiction can be very, very scary. I think what humans are capable of doing to other humans is even scarier.
But it is a novel.
It is a novel based on what would happen if you were trapped in a space, Sam, and the grid went down.
Here is the synopsis from Amazon. Since the 1970s, Fantasticland has been the theme park where fun is guaranteed. But when a hurricane ravages the Florida coast and isolates the park, the employees find it anything but fun. 5 weeks later, the authorities who rescue the survivors encounter a scene of horror. Photos soon emerge online of heads on spikes outside of rides and human bones littering the gift shops, breaking records for hits, views, likes, clicks, and shares. How could a group of survivors, mostly teenagers, commit such terrible acts? Presented as a fact-finding investigation and a series of first-person interviews, Fantasticland pieces together the grisly series of events. Park policy was that the mostly college-age employees surrender their electronic devices to preserve the authenticity of the Fantasticland experience. Cutting off from the real world and left on their own, these teenagers soon form rival tribes who compete for food, medicine, social dominance, even human flesh.
It has a 94% like review, but I sent it to my daughters and I said, do we want to read this? I don't know that we want to read this.
They form four tribes, the pirates, the shop girls, the freaks, and the mole people.
Well, what are mole people?
I don't know.
They live underground?
I don't know.
It sounds like Lord of the Flies. It sounds like The Road, which was one of the most terrifying books I've ever read in my life about a post-apocalyptic.
So are you going to get it?
I want someone else to read it first. Tell me how bad it is, and then I'll think about it.
All right. After decades of waiting and hundreds of millions of dollars in renovations, Wrigley Field will host the 2027 Major League Baseball All-Star Game. The game will mark the first time the Cubs have hosted the All-Star Game since 1990, and the first time the game will have been played in Chicago since the White Sox hosted in 2003. The team announcing the news in a press conference earlier today, just days after the death of Cubs legend and Hall of Famer Ryne Sandberg. Fitting move, noted by Cubs chairman Tom Ricketts. All right. Chicago gets the All-Star Game in 2027.
Royals play tonight, minus Freddie Fermin.
It's like getting rid of the backup quarterback on the Chiefs.
No, he was beloved. He was a catcher. We loved him.
And no cags.
And had a great batting average.
Are you baiting her?
No, I am. Not on a Friday. Not falling for it.
Is Cags not playing tonight?
No, he's injured.
He's not injured.
Yes, he is. I'm not going. No, I'm not doing it.
The earliest he will wear a Royals jersey again, it will be the end of August. Predicting it right now.
Okay.
Earliest. If it happens then.
When's the earliest he'll be wearing an Omaha jersey?
Oh, stop it.
Next week, I believe. It's called a rehab assignment. It's very normal.
Yeah, of course. Two deputies.
Now, is his hamstring hurt? That's a different question.
Stop it.
Old can't hit Cags. Two deputies have been fired after an inmate was mistakenly released from a New Orleans jail, according to authorities.
Again?
We reported this. Remember, Khalil Brown was released from the Orleans Justice Center on July 25th due to a human error, not a system failure. He remains at large. Oh, he hasn't turned himself back in. Brian was let out by mistake when he was confused with another inmate with the same last name during the jail's overnight release process, and his identity was not properly verified. The human error was compounded by inadequate protocol, according to the sheriff. Two deputies were terminated for a severe breach of duty and process. Their names have not been released. Five staff members have additionally been suspended due to procedural failures and negligence.
Isn't this the same jail where everybody else, quote, walked out and not escaped?
Well, no, they didn't walk out. They were let out.
They ran out.
They ran out because they were let out.
God.
That is one of the greatest lines ever, is when one of those inmates, if you guys have missed the story, One of those 10 inmates who broke out and ran out of this jail in New Orleans.
I didn't escape.
I don't know who interviewed him or who got to talk to him. He goes, I didn't break out. I was let out. Okay.
Did you guys hear this? A nurse has been charged for stealing fentanyl at a University of Missouri hospital.
I think it's the University of Missouri hospital.
And it was 133 vials.
Dang!
Mm-hmm.
A nurse at the University of Missouri Hospital in Columbia is accused of stealing fentanyl from 133 vials for personal use. According to the court documents, 37-year-old Amanda Woodard admitted to stealing fentanyl from the hospital from January through May. She allegedly told authorities she would administer the proper dose to her patients, Sam.
Yeah, okay.
Then use a syringe to take the remaining amount from the vial for herself.
Hold on, she went through 133 vials in five months?
What she's trying to say, and I think—
She would take the leftover.
Denial is strong, but I think she was trying to say, Sam, that if you needed it as her patient, she would give you everything you needed and was prescribed, but then she would somehow take what was left over for herself. And if you believe that, I've got swampland in Alaska to sell you.
Well, either way, it's theft. You don't just get— Well, this giant bottle of fentanyl here
theft,
has
it's
some
theft
leftover.
Of a controlled substance.
She has been charged with one count of stealing. And then there's another story in the stack where federal prosecutors have arrested and charged a Kansas City area nurse on allegation she illegally obtained Percocet and oxycodone. July 2nd, Brooke Haller was indicted by a federal grand jury with four counts of possession of a controlled substance by deception and subterfuge. Haller was arrested, made her initial appearance July 2nd. Additional details not available. The reason we bring these stories up from time to time is that, you know, there's a certain percentage of the population in America addicted to narcotics, opioids, fentanyl. It's unreasonable to think that those same percentages don't translate over to almost every profession.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Just because you're in healthcare doesn't mean that you're immune to addiction. And in fact, I would think because you're around it more.
Probably more likely.
It's probably more likely. And whether that's in pharmaceuticals or anywhere up and down or the healthcare rung.
An alcoholic working in a liquor store.
Yep. Yes. And so I don't know if they've looked into this. Like, let's say the average addiction percentage in America with opioids is, what, 4%? I don't know.
I'll look it up.
Would it not make sense that that 4% translates to every profession?
I would argue in some professions it would have to be higher. And that would be one of them. But every time we end up talking about this, how many nurses call in and say, actually, we have safeguards in place.
Yeah, there's a system. There's that electronic system.
You just can't do it.
You got to key it in. What's that thing called? It's a big drawer and you got to key in your thing.
I've seen it in the doctor's office.
Yes.
And you use your badge.
It's electronic.
The problem is that says why you took it out. It doesn't say how much you put back in.
Well, that's my question with like a vial, Sam. Do you just get one huge vial every single time? And if you're a patient A and you only need a tiny bit, are you supposed to throw out the rest?
No, you're supposed to put it back in.
You're supposed to put it back
time.
Into the system. Yeah. Got it.
So the data is weird. 3.7% of American adults sought treatment for opioid addiction in the past year.
I bet it's a lot higher than that.
But studies suggest that 7% of Americans... 7% of Americans are addicted to opioids.
By the way, the American Addiction Center did a study a couple of years ago and estimates that specifically with nurses, anywhere from 6 to 8% have active substance use disorders.
And I feel like in certain professions, even though you know you need to get help, how much less likely are you to get help if you are in one of those professions?
Or a first responder.
We've said the same thing about pilots and depression. How many pilots are going to raise their hand and say, I'm struggling with mental health? You're going to be benched immediately.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Let's go to Sierra in Independence, 586-7798. Sierra, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So I was calling about the medication. So I work in the I'm a surg tech. I work in the medical field. So when we use medicine, say it's a 50cc bottle of Marcaine or, you know, any kind of pain medication or whatever they're giving to that patient, the nurse has to go and pull that medicine out the Pyxis. And
Pyxis, yes.
Yes, once that medication is used, it is. If we only use 10 cc's out that bottle, the rest is wasted. That nurse and another nurse has to waste that medicine. It doesn't get re-entered or reused, but it does get wasted. It's a waste box that they have to enter the patient's name in, scan their badges, and so she was wasting the medicine, but she's taking it out of the bottle and basically pocketing the syringe. So she was saying as all the medication was used, and it might not have been all used.
But Sierra, if there's supposed to be a second nurse there to make sure that you get rid of it or dispose of it, how could she have been able to?
Well, she's probably taken.
Allegedly.
So if you only use 10 cc's out of a 50 bottle, she's taking 30 out, and okay, it's 10 cc's left to waste. So that nurse is verifying that 10 cc's, but that nurse wasn't maybe in the whole surgery case, so she don't know what local was used on the field, or, you know, it's just her verifying that this medication was waste with that other nurse.
Huh. All right. Well,
so that was it.
All right, appreciate the call. Thank you for it.
Is the patient charged for the entire vial?
That's what I was just going to say. This is almost like when you go to get, years ago, and I think they've gotten better about this, when you go get your wisdom teeth out, instead of giving you two Percocets, remember back in the day, they would give you like 30, and then all of a sudden we had people roaming around that got their wisdom teeth out, whacked out on heroin because they got addicted to this stuff.
I still have 30 oxycodone because I refuse to take it.
Well, why do they give you 30 when you really just need one or two to get you through that? And I only gave my kids a half. I'm not going to lie, I'm barbaric. One half that first night, one half the next day, and then toss the rest.
I won't take pain medication.
So, yeah, but
I did Tylenol 500.
With the fentanyl, why would they not? Do you know what I'm saying? To Sam's point, are we taking one big vial? And let's say I just, as a patient, need a teeny. The doctor said you get 3 droplets, Dana, and in the vial there's 9,000 droplets. Why don't we just dispense the 3 droplets?
And that I would be willing to assume that they are charging the patient the full price for the entire vial.
Oh, you betcha
so
they
no
are.
No wonder it's $900 for an ibuprofen because, well, we got this bottle of 500 pills here, but we took one out and gave it to the patient. We had to throw the other 499 away.
But I'm trying to figure out if this story is true, that this woman allegedly would, you know, give the patients exactly what they needed and only keep the rest for herself. How could she have gotten away with that, allegedly, if there's supposed to be a second nurse to administer that into the trash?
She takes, say it's 50 cc's, she takes the 10 out for the patient, allegedly, hypothetical. She grabs a syringe, pulls the other 40 out into a syringe, grabs 40 cc's of saline, puts it back in the bottle, it's a clear liquid, here you go.
You done that before?
No.
Have you not read about some of the cases? And one of them was an infertility case where the women that went to have their eggs extracted, which is a very painful process, and some of the women had had it done once or twice or 3 times, were going in screaming, searing pain and telling the doctor, there's no way you've given me pain meds. I've done this before. Screaming, searing pain. And then the nurse and the doctor would be like, oh, it's okay. It's just a little pinch. Well, that's why they were in screaming, searing pain.
Huh.
One of the nurses in the facility was basically giving them saline for pain while she or he went and, you know, did what they were doing because they were addicted.
Whatever became of Robert Courtney?
He was going to be released, and
I remember.
Then he was not.
Emmanuel Cleaver got involved, and so did Sam Graves and the two congressmen from Kansas City.
And then I believe while you were gone, Scott, he came to the natural end of that sentence. We need to look it up.
I'll look that up while we go to Chris in KCK. Chris, hello.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're well, thank you.
So the medicine vials, Dana was talking about just giving them a couple drops versus charging them for the whole thing. A lot of the vials that are used in the PICTA systems and that we use on the ambulances are single patient, multi-dose. So you could use two or three dosages out of that on the same patient, but, and some of them are single patient, single dose. Whether you give them 10 milligrams or 5 milligrams or half a milligram, whatever, once you've punctured that sterile environment, you can't use it again. You have to toss it and get a second or third or fourth or whatever dosage you're using. So they're going to charge you for that whole ampule, whether you use a tiny bit of it or all of it. For the nurse that was pulling meds out of the PICTA system, giving some to the patient and giving some to herself, horribly unethical, obviously very illegal, but I think it could be done very easily. Watch magicians with the sleight of hand, watch my left hand, and then the right hand, they've got the exact same thing. Maybe it's a fake, so maybe she's showing the nurse that she's wasting the meds with a vial in her left hand, but she's got the one that she used that's got the actual medicine in it in her right hand, and the one she's wasting is just simple saline or tap water. You know, kind of the sleight of hand thing. I think it's horribly unethical, but I can see it happening.
All right, man. Hey, Chris, do appreciate it. Sam, you have an update on Robert Courtney.
He was released to the halfway house.
I thought it was when you were gone.
Home confinement, August 1st of 2024.
Yep, it's been a year.
It's been a year?
I have people that are close to me who lost someone to that scheme. And I know you were gone because we had Mark, is it Catch Mark, on the program to talk about it. And he said one of the saddest phone calls he has ever made was to the widow of one of the patients who had died. And I think he and the woman had been married 50 some years, Scott. And he said, the man just broke down crying and said, how is it that it's been 30 years? But it had, it had been 30 years.
It was not 30 years. He pleaded guilty in 2002.
He served 22 years in prison.
But was that the plea agreement in place at the time?
He was convicted to 30 years in prison, served 22.
Yep.
Awful. So to your answer, where do you think he is? My guess is wearing a wig and glasses and has changed his name and is keeping a very low profile because so many victims, Scott.
Well, we know what city he's in.
So, well, we're not going to go there, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, people were rage-filled with that release.
I cannot believe that was 23 years ago. I remember covering that story. I'm sure you do as well. And, I mean, I can't say who this is, but somebody that I'm close to lives across the street. I don't know if she still lives there from Robert Courtney's ex-wife.
Oh, yeah. The entire inside of the house was green. I was over there. Green carpet. Green. Yeah. What's that about?
I have no idea. I mean, God, where did the years go?
Would you change your name?
Yes, I would. Yeah, if I was related to somebody.
Even though that's a relatively, it's a not super uncommon name, I would 100% change my name.
If I was, like, think about some of the more notorious bad people in this town.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny Raider. Robinson.
Let's go with a Raider, okay. Because Robinson's a very common name.
Not Brian Raider.
Dennis.
Dennis Raider, thank you. Brian Raider's the guy I went to high school with. Sorry, Brian. But yeah, of course I would change my name if my last name was Raider and I lived in the Wichita area.
Courtney and you lived here. And yeah. those two boys are now adults. I would absolutely change those names.
Definitely if I was one of his children, I would change my last name. Take on my mom's maiden name or something like that. Anything not to identify me with that murderous monster. 913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Hey, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. And that is brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue pit to plate, Q39KC.com. Health news from CBS. The United States kindergarten vaccination rates decreased last year, while exemptions rose to an all-time high.
Okay. We please not talk about things like this on a Friday? You know it's just going to make me angry.
The data posted by the CDC showed vaccination coverage among kindergartners during the 2024-2025 school year decreased for all reported vaccines from the year prior. According to the data, about 92% of kindergartners got the diphtheria, tetanus, and DTP, or is it DTaP or whatever it's called?
That's the one that comes in threes, yeah.
And 92% received the measles, mumps, and rubella.
MMR, yep.
And polio vaccine, all down slightly from the year prior.
You know what we don't want coming back? Polio.
Well, I don't want any of those coming back.
What about smallpox? Well, let's roll the dice, see what happens.
Let's make it a twofer.
Justin Timberlake says he had or has Lyme disease.
Lyme disease. I saw that.
Yep. The singer took to social media to celebrate the end of his two-year Forget Tomorrow tour and also talk about his diagnosis. Is that the world tour that he was afraid would be disrupted?
Yes.
That was, yes, he has concluded that world tour. It was not ruined, by the way.
But it was about to be ruined when he got pulled over for DUI or whatever
right.
It was. Quoting here from Timberlake in a post, among other things, I've been battling some health issues and was diagnosed with Lyme disease, which I don't say so you feel bad for me, but to shed some light on what I've been up to and against behind the scenes, if you've experienced this disease or know someone who has, then you're aware living with this can be relentlessly debilitating.
Yeah.
Both mentally and you get it from a tick, right?
My mom has struggled with this for years. Have I not told you that?
I think maybe. What do you mean she struggled with it for
years? Oh, my goodness. She was bit when I was a freshman in college. No, sophomore in college.
Okay.
And we'll tell you she's never been the same. Fatigue, joint pain. It is just a dictionary of stuff that you do not want happening to you.
I'm not trying to make you feel old, but you've been out of college for almost 30 years.
Oh, yeah. That's how, I mean, she had it way, 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 way back.
Okay.
And the list of things that has led to, you would not wish on your worst enemy.
Is the only way you can get it from a tick bite?
I think so. It's the deer tick. Tiny, tiny, tiny little deer tick.
But it's a bacterial infection. Does it not go away?
You know, though, how sometimes, Sam, you can have strep throat and you're totally fine. And then other people get strep throat and the strep goes to the heart. And then you are really, really, really in trouble. It's one of those things. I think some people can get bit and you don't have the awful outcome. And then some people get bit and they struggle with it forever,
says,
like my mom.
Fatigue, brain fog, and other cognitive concerns can last for years.
Yep.
Huh. Justin Bieber, Shania Twain, and Avril Lavigne have also have Lyme disease. Okay.
How are these people getting bit by ticks?
I think sometimes you know and sometimes you don't.
Strike me as the outdoorsy type.
You can get bit by a tick just walking, you know. Well, like, let's say you go to a concert, okay? And you are walking through the woods to get to, the one out there, Sandstone. You know what I mean? You can get a tick anywhere. You don't have to be hiking in the woods.
There are no woods at Sandstone.
You could get bitten by a tick in tall grass going from point A to point B. You could get bitten by a tick on a golf course. I'm not a hiker, Sam. I've had them on me.
Have you ever been bitten by a tick?
Yes.
Like you had to have it removed?
Last year, my son came home from a paintball excursion in the woods, and I will just tell you that I handed that entire thing over to another male in the family because I couldn't. There were so many that when I saw his back, I cannot handle.
Like, now, normally they will not go just to flat body surfaces like your chest or arm or your back.
I'm aware.
They will go to
I am aware. They like to burrow, Scott.
Your armpits.
We all know.
Tighter spaces.
Did I ever tell you when I was 10 years old? When I was 10 years old, we were living in Texas, and I noticed that I had been bitten by a tick.
Yep.
And I had a tick embedded in my skin.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it itches down there.
Exactly. And I had to go tell, I don't know where my dad was, but I had to go tell my mom that I had a tick.
Could you please help me?
Down there.
Why do you think I said, someone else in the family is, I can't, because also it was so, he was like, well, get it off. Is it on my back? And there were so many. I was just like, buddy, We are going to just...
You just let him suffer?
We are just going to call your dad right now, and he is going to come help you with this, because I didn't want to say there's like six, and if there's six up there, you know, they're everywhere.
So the old thinking was, and I saw a news report this morning about Timberlake and having Lyme disease, and, you know, it's a tick-borne illness, et cetera. And they discredited the idea that you take something hot. Like, you're supposed to use I always thought you're supposed to light a needle and get the tip of the needle really hot, and then apply it to the back of the tick.
That makes them burrow
and
deeper.
And then they're supposed to pull their head out. Well, they said on the news this morning that is the last thing you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get tweezers as close down to the embedded head as possible and then gently pull it out.
You realize by then you've already been bitten.
Well, but back in 1982 or 81, whenever this was, when I got bit way down there, I had to sit there with my pants down on the couch. My mother is right there.
Lower.
Literally using her cigarette lighter to heat up this needle, and I know exactly where that needle is going. And I was petrified.
I'm petrified listening to the story. The phones are ringing. They're all men. Look, they're all men. Ron, Justin, and Damon.
I've used a lighter to back a tick out before. It works. I don't know why they're saying not to do it.
Well, I on the news today, they said that that's an old wives' tale and you're not supposed
to do it
that way.
Can't there be a Lyme's disease vaccine, especially in these parts? Like something that they could give you, especially if you are a hiker, you are a...
Did you just go all country?
Hunter.
Especially out here in these parts.
Out here in these parts.
Believe it or not, more prevalent in the Northeast.
Are they more prevalent over yonder?
Up yonder. That would be up yonder. Okay.
Look at the phones. Everyone's like, I'd like to share this time that I had a tick down there. We're good.
But no, if it's already burrowed, there's no way you're getting tweezers that far into your skin. You have to back it out.
At that point, you've already been bitten. Like, if you're going to get the Lyme disease, it's too late.
It takes like 48 hours.
Have you ever had one that's like really engorged?
No. Please turn gray.
I've pulled hundreds off my body in one weekend.
We're done. Go to break. Oh, my gosh.
Quick break for the news. Dan's got that coming your way in 2 minutes. Over yonder. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Festivus is an hour away.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.